Good morning, and we welcome you this morning to our morning service, Sunday before Christmas, and obviously we're going to be focusing on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and singing all Christmas songs this morning, and so let's stand together and sing Angels from the Realms of Glory. Thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to assemble ourselves together and truly worship you. And we thank you that on that day in which Jesus Christ was born, that there was a moment of worship. And we praise you that even today we're able to worship you in spirit and in truth because, again, of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that he gave his very life so that we could have a way of salvation. And I ask that you would work in our hearts throughout this service and that today we would have hearts that are surrendered to you and that we would again be even more appreciative of the Lord Jesus Christ and why he came that very first time and how that still has great effects for us even this day. So work in our hearts. May you be lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing if you would, and we're going to sing, Go, Tell It on the Mountain, just like the shepherds were to go and proclaim, and so likewise we want to do the same. sing out with me, if you would, on this next song, "What Child Is This Who Laid to Rest?" I want to share with you just a few announcements. Tonight will be our Christmas program, and that will begin at 6 o'clock. I want to encourage you to, I know several of you have been inviting family and friends to be with you, and I want to encourage you to encourage them to be here early, and now not like 5 o'clock early, but at least 20 minutes before the service. That way they can get a good seat, and welcome them to be here tonight. Be praying that God will work in hearts and lives in our evening program, and again, that'll begin at 6 o'clock. And then Wednesday night, we'll be having a Christmas Eve service, I should say it that way. And that is a Christmas sing-along, and we'll look forward to a good time together and just singing some fun Christmas songs and then also some traditional Christmas songs. And so I want to encourage you to be here for this upcoming Wednesday night, and that God will work in our hearts there as well. Then also next Sunday, we will be having a business meeting after our service, and this is to vote in our 2021 budget and also nominations, new officers for the year of 2021. And the officers are listed on the back board back there. I want to encourage you to look that over and be praying about that if you would as well. So that'll take place next Sunday. And then today, I want to encourage you to give. Give because you love the Lord, and give with our missionaries in mind. This time of year is, it's kind of a difficult time for missionaries. We like to, so to speak, be home, be back in the States. But nonetheless, I want to encourage you to remember them in your giving, that we would see their needs be provided for, and then also for the needs just of our general church expenses as well. So I want to encourage you along that line. So give as you leave this morning, and be a blessing there. All right, let's stand together and sing our last song this morning, "The Birthday of the King."
Thank you.
Well, at this time, we'll have our children be dismissed for Children's Church, and you may be seated. And take God's word this morning and turn, if you would, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. John chapter 14. I want you to look at one verse with me, if you would, in that chapter, and then we'll look at a verse in John chapter 16. John chapter 14 and verse number 27. And notice what the Word of God here has to say for us. John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now chapter 16, and notice verse 33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." If you notice, in both of these verses, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about peace. And today I want to preach a message entitled, "Jesus, Our Peace." Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you this morning for the power of your word, and I do thank you that Jesus Christ, in his coming, definitely came to provide a great salvation, and with that great salvation came and still comes the great offer of peace. Peace with you and having the peace of God rule in our hearts. So would you speak to our hearts through this message? Change us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your baby boy would save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the grave. you know.
Amen. 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 And what a moment that must have been for Mary to hold in her arms truly the Son of God. And what a moment that was. Some people say that this is the most wonderful time of the year. For some people, this is their favorite time of the year. They get caught up in all of the hustle and the bustle, and they like the going out and buying the gifts and putting those under the tree. And I don't know about you ladies, but our tree has been up like since Thanksgiving. And how many of you men, if you have a wife like that, are all ready for it to go down? Okay, I'm not the only one. But anyway, I'm not a Scrooge about it. It's just like, why? And she told me yesterday, and this, like the decorations here in the church, I think we should leave them up till January 3rd. I'm thinking, no, it's the new year. Christmas is past. But anyway, we won't get into that one. But to some people, Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. But do you realize that even today there may be some people sitting here that it's not so wonderful because some have suffered loss in this year. Some have suffered great pain and deep hurt in their life. Some are really, if I could say it this way, they are stressed out. They're experiencing sleepless nights. And for some, there seems to be no hope and no peace. But Jesus Christ is the author of peace. He came to offer peace. And here in these two passages of Scripture that we noted this morning, we see that truly Jesus is our peace. And I trust this morning that before you leave this service, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be able to leave and say, He is my Savior, and because He is my Savior, I now have peace with God. And if you have peace with God, then you'll be able to leave and say, but the peace of God is ruling in my heart and ruling in my life. And so notice with me, if you would, here in John chapter 14 and verse number 27, we notice some things about this peace that the Lord offers. We see, first of all, this morning that His peace is exclusive. He says in verse number 27 of John 14, He says that my peace, He says, not as the world gives, He's talking about His peace. And His peace is far different than the peace that the world offers. His peace is very exclusive in its quality. For instance, the Society of the International Law in London states that during the last 4,000 years, there have been only 268 years of peace in spite of good peace treaties. Think about that. In over the last 4,000 years, only 268 years of peace. What does that tell us? That tells us one thing, that the peace that the world offers is temporary. Temporary at best. And yet that the peace that Jesus Christ offers lasts for eternity. And it has great value. His peace is so exclusive in its quality that it instills confidence. It instills wholeness. I think about a man in Mark chapter 5 who was full of demons, and those demons literally drove him out of the place in which he lived, drove him out of his home, drove him out of his town that he lived in, and he ended up living in the cemetery. And we find that people would bind him literally with chains, and he would just break those asunder, which tells you about the power of Satan. He is not all powerful, but he does have power. He was able to break those chains asunder, and the Bible says no man could tame him. But the Bible says this, but when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped him. Jesus cast those demons out of him, and the Bible then says this, that this man was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. His life that day had experienced a peace he had never known before at that point in his life, because that's the change Jesus makes in your life. And we find that he is able to instill wholeness with his peace. He's able to calm the storms in our life. I think about a Bible storm that the Lord had encountered with his disciples, and a big storm had come up and he was in the ship with them, and we find that the disciples were like, "Master, don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to perish in this storm?" And the Bible says that Jesus said this to the storm, "Peace, be still." Now, may I say today that our Lord does the same thing for us, that when we encounter the storms of life, he is able to speak peace to those storms. He knows what we're going through. In fact, another account, the Bible says that when Jesus was in the ship with his disciples, that Jesus was in the lower end of the ship and he was asleep on a pillow. You see, here's a storm raging, and yet the one who's in charge of the storm, if you would, is able to be at rest. And that's how the Lord wants us to be. When the storms of life come, he wants us, if you would, to be at peace, to be at rest. And this peace is so exclusive in its quality that it comforts the brokenhearted. Over the years of pastoring, I have been beside many a family in our own church and previous churches that I have pastored. And I think about those times in which I get that phone call and say, "Pastor, my loved one has died. My loved one has passed away." And for some of those accounts, it was very sudden, unexpected, if you would. And no sickness going on there as far as they know. But then I get that phone call, "Please come." And boy, I've walked beside many of a family within our church that have experienced those brokenhearted moments. But I've also seen those same people walk through that, yes, with tears, yes, with a broken heart, but yes, with a peace that says, "One day I will see them again. One day I will be with them, not only with my Lord," because the Bible says, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord," and God, through his peace, is able to comfort the brokenhearted. And we have a lot of brokenhearted people, not only in America, but around the world just this very year, who have lost loved ones through this virus alone. And I think about that, and people whose hearts are broken, even this very day, they want the Christmas season to be a joyous time, but yet in their spirit, they're lonely. Because it's just like, my loved one is not here to enjoy this particular moment with me. And I think about how the peace of Christ is able to comfort the brokenhearted. But I want you to notice this, that since his peace is exclusive, it's not only exclusive in its quality, but it's also exclusive in its cost. The Bible says this in Colossians 1:20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross." You see, when we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ at this time of year, again, naturally, we think about gift giving and so forth, and all of that is right and has its place. But we know as God's people that the main reason, and it's kind of an old cliche, but the main reason for this season is who? It's Jesus. Jesus truly is the reason for the season, because he came over 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, but he had the purpose in mind, eventually, I'm going to the cross at the right time, and I'm going to die, I'm going to give my very life in obedience to the Father's will, that man may have a way of salvation, because man, because of his sinfulness, has been separated by that sin from God. And so there had to be a mediator, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." And so through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, mankind can be reconciled to God. Aren't you glad today that we don't have to go through a man in order to go to heaven? That we can go straight to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has provided a way of salvation, and that whosoever will may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And today I ask you, and I know many of you could say amen to this question, but do you know about this peace through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your personal Savior? And for those of you that can say that, say amen. It's the greatest knowledge in all the world. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, won't you believe on him? Because when you do, you will experience a peace that no psychiatrist can give you, no pill can give you, no bottle can give you. Only Jesus Christ can give this peace. It's very exclusive in its quality. And he says here, my peace I give unto you. But notice, secondly, this morning, that his peace is not the absence of problems. Go to John 16, look at verse 32 again. John 16, verse 32, verse 33, Jesus says this, in the world you shall have tribulation. Well, that's real encouraging, isn't it? Some of you are going through tribulation. Some of you are going through difficulties. Jesus says here, in the world you shall have tribulation. So this peace that we can have with God does not mean that when we make that decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as our Savior, does not mean that the problems go away. Sometimes, hold it now, sometimes it may mean they will increase. In fact, look at verse 32. Jesus says this, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. What's Jesus talking about there? He's getting near to that time in which he would be betrayed by Judas in the garden. And he says, all you disciples, you are going to scatter. You're going to go to your own place. But he says, don't, if you would, worry about me, because I won't be alone, because I'll have the Father that is with me. And we find in this context that he says that this tribulation is going to come from without. This conflict will come from without. He says, in the world you shall have tribulation. Look in chapter 15 of John. Let's look at this just for a few moments. Notice what he says now in verse number 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So this world, there are those in this world that do not like what we are doing here this very moment. They don't like the Bible we read from. They don't like the name of Jesus that we profess. They don't like anything about it. They want, if you would, to make our life difficult. They will cry out for tolerance, and yet there is no tolerance for us, for that which we believe, for the Christ that we profess, for the Bible that we believe. They have no room for that. But Jesus says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, and if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And my, when Jesus was on this earth, how they hated him. Oh, sure, there were many that thronged him. There were many that followed after him for a time, until he said things like, hey, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross and die daily and follow me. Many, the Bible says, turned and walked no more with him. They hated Jesus. Those especially what I call the religious elite of his day, they had no room for him. They had no tolerance for him. He made himself equal with God. That was blasphemy according to their law. And truly he was God. And yet we find he was hated. He was hated by his very own. You recall the Bible says that he came unto his own and his own received him not. The Bible says also for us that when he was on the, basically in Pilate's judgment hall, the question was, well, what shall I do with Jesus? Crucify him, crucify him. They hated him so much, they had to get rid of him. Of course, there was a greater plan in mind. God had the plan all in set. He had it all in motion. And while this seemed cruel by the hands of wicked men, yet from the loving hands of God, he was providing a way of salvation. And yet we find in the context that Jesus is saying, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Now look at verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember, he says, the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours also. And he said, so this hatred that is coming from the world, it's coming because we, God's people, are different. We, God's people, are followers of Christ. He says, if, again, they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And they will hate you because of ignorance. Look at verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So sometimes we say, why are they so hateful? Why do they seem to be so mean? And yet Jesus is saying, it's only because they don't know the Father. They're not in a right relationship. And they, if you would, are turning this way because this is a hatred that really is a hatred toward God. This week, as I was reading the book of Revelation, and I got into, I believe it was chapter 14. And in that time of tribulation, people will know that God's wrath is being poured out upon the earth. They will know it. And we find that it says this, they blaspheme God, they curse God, and repented not to give him glory. Every time I read that, I just scratch my head and think, how can you know that God's judgment is falling upon the earth, and yet you curse God, you blaspheme God? But they do, and they will, in that time of tribulation. And yet, so we find in this passage, he says, that I need to have you know that my peace does not mean the absence of problems. In the world, you're going to have conflict from without. And let me say, if you, those of you that are saved, you'll remember that time when you got saved. And you will remember, for some of you, now, I was saved as a 9-year-old boy, so if you would, I didn't have a lot of friends in life. But when you get saved a little older in life, at times what you will find out, when people begin to discover that you're saved and you are living different and so forth, you won't have to worry about leaving them. They will leave you. Why? Because, again, they know you're different. And for this reason, now your life is beginning, if you would, through the light that is in you, beginning to convict them. And they won't come to the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. So Jesus says, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but there is a word of encouragement from above. Look in John 16, verse 32. He says, in the world you should have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise God, he has. And we find that the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Again, I know you hear me say it a lot, but we are on what side? We're on the winning side. And he says, greater is he that is in you. You're more than conquerors. He says there is cheer from above, because I want you to know I have already overcome the world. Amen. And thank God for that this morning. And we can have, even though there is the presence of problems, I can know something. So can you. That we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That it will, quote, come to pass. His peace is exclusive. His peace does not mean the absence of problems. But notice this. His peace is excellent in its effect. Go back now to John 14 again and look at verse number 27, the latter half of the verse. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You see, his peace settles you. The very word troubled there means to be agitated. Means to be, if you would, stressed out. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I don't know what your, let's just say the last month has been like in your life. I don't know if it's been turbulent and rocky. I don't know if it's been like going through a lot of valleys in life. Maybe, maybe not. For some of you, that doesn't really explain your life at this point. But for some of you, it does. And this peace is a peace that can settle you. Because you see, soon Jesus and his disciples didn't fully comprehend this. They were anticipating Jesus to set up his kingdom right then. And he was not. He told them, hey men, I'm going to die. I'm going to go back to the Father. What? What are you talking about dying for? We need to be liberated from this Roman tyranny that we're under. What are you talking about dying? It's going to come to pass, men. And so he says to them, peace I leave with you. I'm going to leave you my peace. In the world, yes, you're going to have trouble, but let not your heart be troubled. Settle down, men. Settle down. And then he says this, neither let it be afraid. His peace not only settles us, church, his peace calms us. His peace calms us. You see, fear will seek to be seated on the throne of your heart, but the peace of God drives that fear away. How many of you have ever heard of a whelk? Okay, glad I wasn't the only one. But a whelk is a little ocean creature that truly can ruin an oyster's day. The whelk has an appendage that works like an auger with which it can bore a small hole in the top of the oyster shell. And through this very small hole, a whelk can devour an entire oyster, sucking it out little by little until the oyster is gone. And as I read that, I thought about this. That's exactly how fear works in our life. How that, if you would, it bores a little hole into our thinking. And soon, if you would, that peace of God in our life is sucked out. Now we're worrying about something. Now we're fretting about something. Now we're wondering, when am I going to get out of this particular difficulty that I'm in? And that's exactly how fear likes to work. And yet the Bible says, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Take your Bible and turn to a passage with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And I want you to notice verse number 6 and verse number 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. We're thinking about this matter of his peace. And as we think of his peace definitely has great effect in our life. It settles us. It calms us. And now in Philippians 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice that word in verse number 7, the word keep. It is a word that has the meaning of someone being an umpire. Someone, if you would, that's calling balls and strikes. Someone on the basketball court that has that black and white shirt on that can call a technical foul and say, particularly if you get two technicals, you're out of here. And the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And the peace of God will do what? It will umpire in your heart. It will say that that fear that is trying to come in your life, it's out of here. He is saying that fear, that emotion of hopelessness, he could say it's out of here Because the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. This peace is excellent in its effect. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So I ask you this morning, are you at peace with God today? Are you at peace with God? Do you know Jesus? If you don't, today, acknowledge what I had to acknowledge over 51 years ago, that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And that I turned on from my sin and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And from that day until now, with a Bible promise, I know that I'm saved. I wonder today, can you say that as a teenager? Can you say that as an adult? Do you know for sure that if you had died right now, you'd go to heaven? You see, you can't have the peace of God until you have peace with God. And Jesus has made it possible for God and man who have been separated by sin. Jesus Christ is able to reconcile God and man. Don't you want to be reconciled to God today? Won't you believe on Him? He'll give you the greatest gift you will ever receive this time of year. The greatest knowledge in all the world, to know Jesus. Come to know Him today. Come to Jesus today, and you can have peace with God. But when you have peace with God, I ask you this. Do you have the peace of God, Christian friend, this morning, ruling in your life today? Is it ruling in your life? Or is that whelk, if you would, sucking out the peace of God in your life? Today, I want to encourage you to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, pray about it. Pray about it, and the peace of God can rule in your heart. So Jesus truly is our peace. Amen. Do you have that peace today? Every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed, morning, again, I repeat the question I've asked a couple of times in this message. Do you know Jesus is your Savior? Do you know that if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? I wonder this morning there'd be someone here who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about my soul and where I will spend all of my eternity. I've never trusted Christ. I believe that He died. I believe He rose again. But He's not my personal Savior. I can't say I have His peace in my life. But today, I see the need. And today, I want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's you with our heads bowed, would you just raise your hand, drop your hat? I won't call your name. I'll just have an opportunity to remember you in prayer. Say, yes, Pastor, that is my need. I don't have peace with Jesus. Anybody at all while we wait? I wonder this morning, there'll be those here and say, Pastor, praise God, I know I'm saved. No doubt about that in my mind. But the peace of God is not ruling in my life. I'm allowing other things to rule. I have experienced in times past the peace of God ruling in my life, but right now, this very moment, it's not. I'm allowing worry and other things, fear, whatever it may be, to rule in my mind. And today, I want to yield to the Lord, and I want His peace to settle me and calm me. At this particular time in my life, if that's you, would you raise your hand, rub your hat? Say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. The peace of God is not ruling. The peace of God is not ruling in my life as a believer. I have experienced those moments, but today there are certain things I'm just allowing to rob me of that peace. If that be you, would you raise your hand, rub your hat? Anybody at all while we wait? And now, Father, how I thank You for the power of Your word. I'll trust You, Father. as I have even from the beginning of this message, even in preparation for the message. And I would ask that today, your peace would truly rule in our hearts, in our thoughts. Help us not to allow the things of this world to push you out. Truly, may your peace rule in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand and ask Sherry to begin to play. And as she begins to play, I'm going to encourage you this morning. There's yet a need in your life that you need to make. I'm going to encourage you to come. You're not saved, but you want to be. Won't you come today? Today in your life, if the peace of God is not ruling, won't you respond today and allow the peace of God to rule in your heart and life? Don't allow the things of this world to crowd out the Lord Jesus. Have room for Him today. Amen.